was born, my mother gave me a Christian name, and that is Mark Thompson. In 1994, I went to South Africa, and I received a South African name, Matsumela Mapfumo, and that means firmly rooted soldier. Yeah.
Make it plain.
With Matsumela Mapfumo.
Mark Thompson.
The musk, the dusk, and the crack of the dawn. We go through episodes, too, like Attack of the Clones. What till we break them back, and you hear the crack of the bone.
Serious Left 146. BlackCommentator.com joins us every Thursday. And folks, very special guest joining us tonight. He's an editorial board member, of course, of BlackCommentator.com, a graduate of Lincoln University and Harvard Graduate School. In 1962, he was appointed as the first African-American ever to teach in Harvard College. And in 1969, 7 years later, he was the first African-American tenured at Harvard. He retired in 2003 as a Frank G. Thompson Professor of Government Emeritus. His publications include Political Change in a West African State, A Study of the Modernization Process in Sierra Leone, Key Issues in the Afro-American Experience, New States in the Modern World, The African Diaspora, The Making of Black Intellectuals, and The Transformation of the African-American Intelligentsia. That is his forthcoming book. He's been on with us before. It's a pleasure to have him again. Dr. Martin Kilson. Dr. Kilson, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm fine, Mr. Thompson. How are you?
Fine. Always a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
Right. How nice to be back on your show.
We have a two-part piece, as you have written, entitled, it's the BlackCommentator.com cover story, Obama's Electoral Path to the White House. And we've got a significant amount of ground to cover, so we want to get started. First of all, as you say in your introduction, you've always been impressed with Senator Obama, have you not?
Yes. It was originally sort of intuitive, Mark Thompson.
Okay.
You have a certain kind of gut feeling. Is that the expression? The everyday expression? You know, and something told me that not only in the first instance was this one of our, you know, very intelligent and professionally authoritative members of our, you know, we're in the sixth generation black professional class, you know, since the five generations of the 20th century, and now we're entering the early generations of the 21st century. And that struck me. And then when you discovered the personal style, the personal mannerism, the maturity, and the sophistication of it, you're dealing with one of the best of our best, wherever you want to start, with Frederick Douglass in the pre-Civil War period, or whoever, the great Du Bois, or James Weldon Johnson, or Henry McNeil Turner, the great among the many great African Methodist Episcopal Church bishops, Reverdy Ransom. You know, he's in a tradition of first-class leadership personalities who led the struggle for black people against the racist juggernaut of American society. And my intuition told me, early in the month of January, during the course of the 3 or 4 days leading up to the New Hampshire primary, that this brother was one of the great ones, and that got me to start all the hard research and the process of collating and analyzing all kinds of newspaper columnists, newspaper reports, and poll data. And I said I'd do an article first on the New Hampshire primary and send it to this very important online magazine, Black Commentator. And that's why I did the first one. I said, I'll do another one. Now I've done 10.
well, now, for the record, too, I think it'd be important to acknowledge that, Black Commentator has been with us for weeks. And frankly, I used to, in terms of being with us every week, but in the early days, Black Commentator was not that high on Obama.
That's right.
And matter of fact, I used to get beat up for allowing what some characterized as an anti Obama forum on the air. But I think it's important that people know that we are human beings, African Americans, and that we have debate, as historically we've had debate in our movements and our struggles. You had debate between Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, W.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington. And so, you know, Black Commentator, what it has done, as we've tried to do here on the air, is provide, you know, several sides to the conversation and the argument. So now tonight, as we've had in the past, we get to hear your expert scholarly analysis on not only why you support Obama. That's one thing. I mean, that's a feeling, as you said, your intuitive sense, but why you agree with others that he will, in fact, win. So let's start here. There were a couple of building blocks that you pointed out in terms that were began in the primary season that are going to, you feel, ensure victory for him. Number one being the mobilizing of liberal white voters. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, that's always been crucial. You know, it first surfaced, I think, to a lot of people's surprise, certain to all the progressive thinkers and observers who are associated with Black Commentary, that he would come out of Iowa's caucus with a victory. And then we saw more of that ability to convince what I call the liberal white voter sector in New Hampshire to keep him very competitive. He only lost New Hampshire, remind you. Now, a lot of people don't remember that, but by 3 percentage points, and that's the state where my wife and I and my children and my 6 grandchildren, we have a hideaway, old Victorian's summer house.
All right, now.
We've had it since 69 or something, so, you know, we're there a couple months a year, and we know that state. You know, it's now maybe about 1.5% Black American citizens, and this liberal white voter bloc is crucial. Of course, no black or no Hispanic American or no any other kind of color American can even get, you know, in the vicinity of the White House without cultivating and consolidating a liberal white voter bloc.
Sure.
And that's something, you know, somewhere between 30 to 35% of white voters, and the brother. Senator Obama has been skillful at that, and he's been able to carry it slowly but surely, you know, through these very competitive primaries. Even in my home state of Pennsylvania, he got 35% of the white vote,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, the other 60% or so of the white vote is in that sort of struggling lower middle class, upper working class category, which is in so many ways still anxious about blacks getting too competitive on the social mobility ladder in American society. That's a nice way of saying that they're not black friendly. And I like to find, you know, favorable ways of saying unfavorable things. You know, that's an intellectual skill. I think the best of black leadership have always developed that skill. James Weldon Johnson had it. Du Bois
had it. Yeah.
We want to say solid, you know, critical, you know, things about a racist civilization, but not just for the sake of having a cathartic benefit from saying something solidly critical, but to help to elevate the damn society and our white citizens. And Obama has that skill. And to my surprise, you know, he has sustained, you know, this, what I call, you know, a liberal white voter bloc, you know, right down till this very day, you know, after this third debate in which he put old Rascal McCain in his place last night. He has sustained, all the polls show as of today, that he has sustained, you know, a respectful a posture, as it were, towards a first-class black professional personality, which is what Obama represents. He has sustained this favorable posture among that liberal white voter bloc.
Well, let's go into that a little more with a little more specificity, Dr. Martin Kilsen,
sure.
BlackCommentator.com. As you talk in your article, early on, of course, in the primary season, there were some states like New Hampshire where a senator in Clinton enjoyed the support of liberal whites who were lower income and had less education.
That's right.
Obama attracted those, and I guess one of the reasons why he was unfortunately called elitist, of those who had a little more income and a little more education.
That's right. Solid, middle, and above.
Has he closed that gap, in your view? Does he now have the
white working class,
as Senator Clinton called him, hard working?
Yeah, that's right. Which was a smart ass, you know, way of putting brothers down. And she used a lot of these smart ass ways of putting brothers down, but they happily. No, he hasn't won them over, but he doesn't have to win them over. You know, that's what's important. As long as he can keep that solid middle class and upper middle class within, you know, something like 30-35% of them on his side, the rest, don't have to be pulled along. I mean, he can't make an electoral revolution quite yet among white Americans. That's not required to bring, you know, 55-60% of them into 65% of them, you can go up that high into the ranks of a solidly liberal and a progressively liberal, in fact, black political candidate, because next to the liberal white voter bloc is, of course, a consolidated maximal voter mobilization of black Americans.
Right. And that's the second point you say, that is the building block to victory.
Vote. In a way, that's even more crucial, although, you know, most of the media haven't pointed it out, which is what I tried to do over these 10 hard worked up articles, taking all of my time for now 6-7 months, to keep in mind, to help our marvelous readership of Black Commentator understand the incredible role that black voter mobilization has played over the last 8 months of this electoral season. Absolutely incredible. It's longer than that now. They started playing it in December and in January in the South, in the state of South Carolina, as they slowly shifted from 75% support for Ms. Clinton, a poll taken after Thanksgiving, last November. And when they got down to that campaign in the second weeks of January, and the election was on, January 26th of this year, blacks surprised themselves when they began to recognize that they had a chance to make history, and they said, we're going to do it, and they mobilized their ranks maximally, not just in some everyday electoral turnout sense. And that South Carolina election sent a thrill up my old 77-year-old black spine in a way that nothing has. You know, I said, the brothers are fulfilling something deep in the long struggle out of slavery and out of, you know, the racist post-Civil War America during most of the 20th century into our era.
Right.
Of a real quest for freedom. That's where we are now.
Well, let's go to Dr. Martin Kilson here with us, blackcommentator.com. Quick calls, Obama's electoral path to victory. We're just going through some of the steps why we feel Obama has the numbers to win. A couple of other constituencies that you do touch on, Jewish voters. Where are they in this, in your view?
Well, Jewish voters ought to be as fully with us as that solid, you know.
Are they? Do you feel that they are?
Well, we don't quite know. I haven't seen the national figures, but I was shocked, as I mentioned in the in my second article, from the Ciena poll, CIENA Research Institute poll, which is a major pollster organization in New York State and does a lot of New York State as well as New York City urban politics polling. When they showed their poll, it came out September 14th, that 53% of Jewish American voters in New York State were switching to McCain, and someone has just told me, in fact, 24 hours ago, that there's another poll suggests they're switching back. Well, God bless them. They should have never made the switch toward McCain in the first instance. I mean, you know, there's nothing more saddening I thought, than that, and I'm sure we will carry most of the Jewish vote in New York State and elsewhere in the country. Jewish Americans have nothing to fear from a first-class politician of the progressive vein that Obama represents.
Certainly, certainly. 866-99 Sirius, 866-997-4748. There's this number floating around. We had Dan Rather on last week. He spoke to it.
Mm-hmm.
Others did, and it's kind of picking up steam. There's this feeling that the issue of racism might affect Obama by about 5%. You talk about racism in your piece.
Mm-hmm.
How much of an effect do you think it will have come November 4th?
Well, it's there. I mean, you know, posters and the people who deal with the purely with the statistical dynamics of electoral behavior, you know, have these precise categories, numerically speaking, as to how racism affects itself. And I suspect, you know, that assumption, which has been around for quite a while now, that something like 6% of white Americans, when they get into that box, they say, I'm not quite sure we want to live quite with a black governor of the state of whatever, New Jersey, or a black governor of the state of Virginia,
right,
or a black mayor of the great city of Los Angeles, and they will pull the neck, you know, side of the levers, and I don't know. I don't have any kind of, you know, statistical understanding quite of how you tease this thing out. But something tells me intuitively that the worst side of the so-called Bradley effect is probably not going to happen. You know, that's a kind of intuitive understanding. It's a feel.
Well, you know, Dr. Kelson, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I was reading something in the New York Times. There's a new term now that people are discussing, a new sort of feeling, and it may go to your intuition,
right,
called the Bradley effect.
Yeah.
Effect. And what that is we know what the Bradley effect is.
Right.
But because it's been acknowledged and talked about, it has created its own effect.
That's right.
So that people, even whites, are trying to...
There's a new awareness.
Yeah, to go in the other direction so that they don't, make it a reality.
So fine. It's good to have something, positive, ultimately coming out of something so nefariously negative as the Bradley effect was, because what it really meant, that substantively, even a first-class professional black candidate alternative...
Yeah.
To a white politician, you know, can't quite get the full respect for white voters that person deserves. I mean, that's what you're talking about, the Bradley effect, that the first black mayor who got elected in my city of Philadelphia, Wilson Good, he was a first-class candidate by any description, you know, by application to any kind of ethnic personality, Polish American, Italian American, Irish American, white Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, WASP American. The brother was first class, and still he could claim back in 1983 only 20% of white voters in the great city of Philadelphia. It was a disgrace,
mm-hmm.
Mark Thompson.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and Bradley was the same way. This was a first class professional figure who came up through the police system. Was a police commissioner, a man of skill and talent. Everybody in Los Angeles who had the slightest bit of brains in their heads knew about it. And yet, when they got in the polls, they pulled the negative lever against him. And if the statisticians say that that's down somewhere between 3% and 6%. As an ongoing phenomenon working in the consciousness of white people in America, I say good. That's a big drop. And my hunch is that it's not going to get much higher than 3%. Something tells me that a new chemistry is going on out there in the thinking of white America. But it's a chemistry, of course, that doesn't come, you know, on a silver platter. Black people have fought for it along with our white liberal friends. You know, we have fought for it. We have put our dukes up, and we've battled with all the racist dynamics in white America, and we've created new consciousness, and new consciousness on our parts too. We're more understanding of the racist limitations in the personality of our white compatriots. We're more understanding of it, and again, Obama reflects that. He's not indifferent to, as a lot of our more radical brothers and sisters think, he's not indifferent to the racist dynamics in the American scheme of things.
Right. You don't think so.
He's not indifferent to it. You know, we must make that point. We our egalitarian black progressives. That's what I call myself. We have to understand that it's important to show sensitivity to the racist limitation in the white mindset, but it's also important to critique it and to let white people know that our best leaderships will critique it, and he has critiqued it. He did so brilliantly in that Pennsylvania talk in the Independence Hall, in Constitutional Hall, as you remember, March.
Sure.
And he's done it in so many ways. There are many ways to skin, you know, the old racist bear, as it were. We know about this. We black people, those of us in our ranks who think and who reflect and who have a sense of humanitarian sensitivity to the others,
Martin Kilson, blackcommentator.com, his piece there at their website in two parts. Very well done. Very extensive. Obama's electoral path to the White House. I've been talking to a few undecideds on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Several of my listeners agree with your piece that some of the excuses. See, because Azadot Kilson, 19 days out, I don't know why anybody's still undecided. I mean, I don't know what else they're waiting to
happen. That's right.
But your piece argues is that when people come up with other excuses, Obama's young, he's inexperienced, I don't know about the tax piece, you suggest that that is really code for saying, I'm not voting for him because he's black.
Oh, it is code. I don't have the slightest bit of doubt about it. You know, there's no doubt that it's code. It's a kind of shrewd, verbal, you know, mental excuse. It's a mask, you know, it's a mental mask, it's a verbal mask, it's a rhetorical mask for something more basic, you know, namely that I'm yet not grown up on the humanitarian, the multiculturalist side of my American definition enough to recognize that this brother is the best candidate out there. And the human brain is, of course, marvelous in its inventiveness with respect to masking what it really stands for in a given situation, and all that kind of talk, you know, we don't quite know him. What else do you have to know about the brother? You know more about him than you know about Sarah Palin, you know.
And you also mentioned that Sarah Palin is an example of the dumbing down culture of Republicanism.
Yes, it's the worst example. It's an example that 3-4 months ago I wouldn't have thought was still possible to appear in the American political culture scheme of things. It is bizarre, you know, this intellectual, this professional know-nothing, both in, you know, in mental terms and in experience terms and in professional capability terms. You know, Sarah Palin is a know-nothing, and that, you know, at the moment, 70% of people, Republicans, who call themselves Republicans, still think she's it. That's just a poll 2 or 3 days ago. I thought maybe that would decline down to something like 50%, since it has fallen down to something like 31% for most Americans, the polls show. Most Americans say she's nothing. You know, at one point that was at 52% when, you know, during the first 14 days following the Republican convention, say from, you know, September 5, September 4th, for the next 2.5 weeks. And then people began to come to their senses. Yes, it's a terrible dumbing down with all these conservative thinkers writing this rot celebratory rot about a know-nothing. It's terrible.
Dr. Martin Kilson.
I cry for my culture.
Dr. Martin Kilson was the first professor in Harvard, first African-American professor in Harvard. You weren't the first. You're not that old. Bless you. The first African-American professor at Harvard College and the first to gain tenure there. Dr. Martin Kilson, Ph.D., a member of the BlackCommentator.com editorial board, Obama's Electoral Path to the White House, an extensive piece. Encourage people to read it. It is encouraging and a very detailed and objective analysis of all of the factors that Dr. Kilson and yours truly believe will lead to Barack Obama's victory come November 4th. Dr. Kilson, it is an honor to speak with you, sir.
Yeah, well, it's an honor to be on your program, and thank you for your very cogent description of my article to your listeners.
Well, Dr. Kilson,
very good at that, Mark Thompson. I think I mentioned that the last time I was on your show.
Well, bless your heart. But, you know, Dr. Kilson, I something I wanted to run by you, too. As you talk about the maximal black voting bloc and the mobilization of black voters, I'm sure you are aware of Dr. Ron Walters' piece. Dr. Walters himself, a frequent
contributor. Oh, yeah, I read Walters' columns every week through the Philadelphia Tribune.
Yes, sir.
That's the major black daily, used to be just a weekly in the city of Philadelphia.
Yes, sir. Now we had him on last week, and his piece was posted, I believe, in Black Commentator.
That's right.
He has described that the Obama campaign is not engaging African-American institutions that register voters and get out the vote in the traditional way, that the Obama campaign is not doing that. And he's very concerned about that. I'm sure you've read that article. What do you think about that?
It depends political ground that he's talking about. I mean, that's not true in metropolitan Philadelphia. I mean, they have engaged, the full extent of the black civil society infrastructure, by which I mean the civic organizational infrastructure of black Philadelphia, from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. Nurses associations, all the professional associations, school teachers, doctors, all the leading Baptist churches, the African Methodist churches, the Pentecostal churches.
But I guess specifically what he's saying is, maybe engage isn't the right word. What his criticism is that, the way the process works, money is spent, and that money is not being spent with black organizations as it has by the Democratic Party in the past.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's just an empirical question that Professor Walters simply might have more evidence on than I do. But I have most of my nieces and nephews, and that's an army of individuals live in the greater Philadelphia area. And I know through them the extent to which they have engaged, and I suspect money must be involved in that process, at some level. I don't know whether it's, the money you give to old ward leaders and old electoral district organizers and then go what they used to call street money when I was growing up, and you go around to the barber shops and the hairdresser parlors. And some of the medical offices and dental offices, and you give the dentists and the doctors, and of course the clergymen out money.
But I think what he was talking about more so. I mean, you have nonpartisan organizations like the NAACP, the Urban League, and in the past, years,
right?
They were engaged to ensure that the black vote was gotten out. And his evidence suggests that that is not happening now.
Yeah, well, I don't. I don't know what political ground he's talking about. Is he talking about the political ground in Baltimore, which is where Professor Walters, teaches, or we're almost in Baltimore. He teaches at the University of Michigan, University of Maryland,
right,
at College Park, or Washington, D.C. But it's not true either, I know, in New York City, nor is not true for Chicago.
Yes, sir.
The campaign has an infrastructure in the at all levels, mechanism that cuts across all levels of civic organizational life, black civil society, black civic organizational life in the city of Chicago. I know it's exciting. Also in Detroit, I spoke to someone a couple weeks ago in Detroit. But these things vary, I think, from metropolitan area to metropolitan area. And I think the metropolitan area on which Professor Walter's analysis is based suggests that it's not at the maximal level that it should be. Mm-hmm. And if he's right, somebody should correct it. I hope that, and I know, in fact, that people at the top level of the Obama campaign read Ron Walter's articles.
Right. So hopefully they'll get the message if it needs to be corrected.
It's very important for a professional analyst of the political process among black Americans since, 1982 and 1984, like Ron Walter's. Speaks truth, to power,
indeed, so to speak,
in this respect. He's a very important analytic figure in black American life, more important than I am, by the way. I don't have a weekly article that reaches, hundreds of thousands, in fact, millions of eyes.
Well, Dr. Kelson, again, it is a pleasure to speak with you folks. This is a required reading from Make It Plain and the professor, Dr. Kelson. Obama's Electoral Path to the White House, blackcommentator.com. Again, Dr. Kelson was the first African-American to teach in Harvard College, and in 1969 was the first African-American tenured at Harvard University. Dr. Kelson, God bless you, sir.
How nice of you to give such visibility to articles in Black Commentator. None of our magazines and our online magazines warrant kind of attention so much as does Black Commentator, and you've done them a marvelous service by getting me involved.
My pleasure, sir. We thank you. And I remain at your
Mr.
service.
Thompson, thank you very much.
All right, I remain at your service, sir. Take care now.
Bye.
All right, folks, this is Sirius Left 146 MIP.